Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. 6 days into 2020 in a new decade, we've got at least one new programming network in business. It's Circle, a country music and lifestyle channel coming to life New Year's Day. General Manager Drew Riefenberger joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, less viewers for Golden Globes 2020, Saved by the Bell's new leader, an Amazon BBC teen up, and our first classic trivia question of the year. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get 3 free books when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. A wonderful Monday afternoon to you and all, and welcome once again to the program All About Television. 43 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Have a wonderful guest with you coming your way over the course of this next hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple to get interactive with us. Pick up the phone and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. If you're shy about the phone, it's no problem with us, because we have chat room business for you. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk or speaker screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you and us. Drew Riefenberger from Circle is live with us from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee, after these news notes. The first award ceremony of this new year and decade may be on track for its lowest viewership since 2012. NBC's Golden Globes 2020 telecast last night was seen by 14.7 million people. That's off 6% from 2019, according to preliminary Nielsen data released this morning. The 2019 presentation had about 18.6 million viewers. The silver lining, NBC was the top-rated broadcast network last night by a wide margin. Josie Tota, the transgender actress last seen on TV in Netflix's No Good Nick, will have the lead role in Peacock's Saved by the Bell reboot. Tota will play a cheerleader at Bayside High School. Original Saved by the Bell co-stars Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley will return, grown up in their original roles. Great News creator Tracy Wakefield is developing Saved Updating, joined by Great News colleague Franco Barrio and the original executive producer of Saved by the Bell, Peter Engel, who was on this program several years ago. Peacock will begin in April, and Comcast, NBC Russell's parent, will present Investor Day dealing with Peacock and unveiling the key details later this month at 30 Rock here in New York. Now some quickies. Amazon, the BBC, will tag team on The Offenders, a new six-episode comedy by Stephen Merchant. Another six-episode undertaking ahead is The Goop Lab, an alternative health inquiry on Netflix, hosted by Gwyneth Paltrow and senior Goop Lab officer Elise Lowen. Paltrow was just on Power Lunch this past hour on CNBC. Freeform will post a Valentine's Day movie on its NAP February 15th. The title, The Thing About Harry. HBO will offer a Shakira concert special January 31st, filmed at the Los Angeles Forum. And Fox will kick off the semi-annual Television Critics Association press tour tomorrow. ABC, FX, and PBS fill out the rest of the tour's first weekday schedule. The tour, Winter 2020 edition, wraps on January 19th. And we will have details of the latest developments of that tour on Friday's program when PBS is scheduled to do its showcase. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Nashville, Tennessee, the general manager of Circle, the new network that premiered on New Year's Day, Drew Riefenberger. Drew, happy New Year. Welcome to our program.
Hey, likewise to you, Simon. Really, really happy to be here. It's a real honor. I've enjoyed your work for years and excited to be here.
Well, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure. And then thank you for the acknowledgement. Drew, what's been the reaction to Circle these first few days of the existence?
It's really been pretty overwhelming, and it is literally just a few days. The social response has been tremendous. The industry response has been tremendous. The industry has really embraced this, and those are two things that you really want. And we're very proud of the slate we put out there and getting good response.
The natural question is, how is this channel different from country music television, or for that matter, going way back when, a network that ran a very long time, the National Network, TNN?
Yeah, I can't really say what their strategies are or aren't, but I can tell you what I think makes us different is it's really a platform for country music fans. And what I mean by that is in this day and age, it's a very simple proposition. I'm a fan of an artist, and I want access to that artist, and I want access to these experiences, right? You talking right all the time about this experience economy we're in. And that's what we think we're building. And if we do it properly, because nobody says, I have a radio relationship with Carrie Underwood, and I have a different kind of relationship with this kind of relationship with that. It's just one thing. And we want to connect fans with artists and artists with fans. And they both want the exact same thing, because the artists want to have a platform where they can speak to fans and they can build their brands and they can tell their stories. And when you got a number one song on the radio, you're on the radio for a few weeks, and that's awesome. But where's all the rest of the stuff? And a big part of that is also the lifestyle. Not just, we'll have a tremendous amount of music and performance, as you might imagine. But if you look at our slate, there's a tremendous amount of lifestyle, because today's fan wants that full 360 omni experience with these fans, and want to know just as much about their travels and their food and their family and their kids and all those sorts of things as they do about their music. And that's really what we think is going to make this stand out.
How long has this been in development for?
That's a great question. So it's been in development for a very long time. I came on in mid-May, and so we built the actual network in a pretty short period of time. But the genesis goes back to so the parent companies here are Opry Entertainment and Great Television. And Opry Entertainment has been the steward of the Grand Ole Opry for 94 years. And so they had this intimate understanding of this community and this authority. But the authority comes from recognizing their responsibility of 94 years to constantly evolve with new technologies, new distribution, generational shifts in attitudes and consumptions. And you know, I just finished the 18 hours of Ken Burns documentary, which I highly recommend. But if you watch that, you see the Opry's role in that, and it's really dramatic, and not just sort of the discovery of country music, but the evolution of country music. And so this was just a very natural evolution that they started thinking about well over, you know, maybe a year or two ago even, that we need to do more. There's a bigger opportunity. There's an underserved audience. And then it just in the last year it came together, and then they figured out how to take the intellectual property and subject matter expertise and then marry it with the perfect partner in Great Television, who has that reach. And that's when that was born, and then I was recruited to come in here and put the last bit together and launch the network and SVOD service coming in the spring.
And let's explain that this is one of the breed of multicast channels where, depending on where you are, you either get it as a cable channel or you get it as the digital signal of a broadcast station, or in some cases, both. How much reach do you have?
Correct. It's right now, we launched with exactly 51% household coverage in the U.S., and that's, as you said, a mix of over-the-air and then in many markets cable as well. And we've got some more distribution deals coming, and we think we'll get well over that and have some fun stuff to share with you very shortly. And then that's the first wave. And then the second wave is all the other cable satellite virtual MVPDs, and all the other, the slings and Rokus and those sorts of things. So by spring, early summer, we really want this thing to be available wherever the fan wants to get it. We don't want anybody to think about where to get Circle. We just want to think that they want Circle, and it happens to be where they are.
And for those who have a great television station in your market, Circle is available in the area in one of those manners, digital broadcast or on cable. And if you're in New York or L.A., Philadelphia, Dallas, Fort Worth, Tampa, Detroit, you're getting it through your local CBS television station in some manner. We're talking about Circle. It's the brand new country music lifestyle channel that launched on New Year's Day. And the folks behind Circle, that's Circle Media, have a second network that they're going to be doing later this year on smart TV sets and smart devices. And we'll get into a conversation about that with our guest, Drew Riefenberger. He's the general manager of Circle Media. He's with us live from Nashville, Tennessee this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Alvin with you live from New York. Delighted you're spending this first Monday of 2020 in this new decade with us, the program All About Television. And we'd love to get your feedback. So give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On Friday, we had an amazing episode with Lauren Smith Himrich. She is the creator executive producer of Netflix's new phenomenon, The Witcher. And your response to that episode has been absolutely amazing. We had over 100 live listeners, and we have had over 300-plus replays ever since. If you haven't heard the episode, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised, or go to our podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, the IR Radio Podcast Network. If you go to IR Radio, go to the website, irradio.com, put Tamami Televised in the search bar, click, and you get our episode. Again, thank you to Lauren for being with us. The response to The Witcher on Netflix has been absolutely out of sight. If you haven't heard, it is the number 2 original scripted series on Netflix for last year. It was only topped by the 3rd season of Stranger Things, which went on Netflix last summer. Drew, in formulating the schedule for Circle, how much you decide to devote on country music and how much on lifestyle?
Well, we don't have an exact formula, but if you look at the schedule, you can see it's a good mix. And in fact, right now we have a stand-up comedy show that was filmed here in Nashville that's gotten really good response. So it's a good mix of documentaries and historical perspective, very contemporary as well. We have a new morning show, a live 3-hour morning show, which we're really crazy about. We had John Oates on this morning. We launched with Vince Gill last week, and we discovered for radio, did not discover for music. But a wonderful woman, Joe Smith, who's just been a great chemistry with Bill Cody, who's a legend in country music. And so we really think we've hit a home run there in that show. And then next month we'll have our first Opry. Opry hasn't been on television in many years, and so it'll be back with a weekly show. And that's going to get people very excited.
The morning show, you said it's a 3-hour show. Is it how is it like or not like, you know, Good Morning America or CBS This Morning or Today or the shows on Spanish language television or other morning shows that are multi-hour?
It's very similar. It is also a radio show, so it's different in that respect for certain. But it's very similar in every other respect with the host, the byplay amongst the host, the daily news, the updates, then interviews and impromptu performances with artists coming in and performing right in the studio. John Oates played 3 songs this morning, and he was terrific. So it's got really good energy, really good chemistry between the hosts, and really good energy with you never know who's going to come. And it's been socially very, very popular because social just lends itself so well to live, right? And that's just a fun aspect of a live show that you can really light up the social sphere differently than a recorded or taped one.
On the lifestyle front, I noticed you have a number of shows that deal with both Southern living, but also you have a show called Authentic America, which takes people to little-known places around the country and bring country music stars in.
Yeah, that one's been really popular. So Nan Kelly and her husband, Nan's a longtime country music journalist and host, and her husband Charlie plays in the Opry band and a number of other bands. And they brought us this idea and said, we want to do this kind of classic road trip, but do it on motorcycles. Do it as a couple, so there's a sort of this fun, natural sort of byplay between the two of them. And then we just want to go to these really iconic places and share this kind of country story and lores. And some of them are theaters, and some are honky-tonks, and some they visit with artists in their hometowns, like with the band Alabama down to Fort Payne. And it's just a great show. It's a really, really good show.
You mentioned that you're going to be presenting live Grand Ole Opry concerts starting next month. Of course, Grand Ole Opry has been a major, believe it or not, a major part of television one way or another, even since the early days of the 50s. How will this Opry experience be different or distinguished? And do you want to do other things with the Opry besides the actual Saturday night performance?
Yeah, no, I'll answer the last part first. Yeah, the Opry will have the regular weekly Opry show, but we absolutely will have a tremendous amount of other Opry-related programming. We already have a show about Opry debuts, Opry docs. They do a number of shows throughout the year that will turn into television specials, Salute the Troops, Opry Turns Pink for Breast Cancer Awareness. So we'll have a lot of specials. But yes, the weekly, week-in, week-out show will be those artists that are performing. It'll be very traditional in many senses of the Opry. You don't mess with that formula too hard, but you can absolutely imagine a little more of a modern take on the presentation itself and how we use hosts and guests and different features around it. And again, social. You'll hear me keep coming back to social because I just think this is all sort of one thing. We don't think of it in terms of, like so many of us in media for so many years have been segmenting and channeling. We're really starting from day one. It's very rare to get to start a network like this and a platform like this from scratch. But when you do, you get to sort of future-proof it and mold it to where you are, but also where you think you're going from a technology standpoint, a distribution standpoint, And that's really important. I spent most of my career adapting to new technologies and new distributions and dealing with the disruption and ups and downs. And we were very successful doing it, particularly in sports. And but this one from scratch, so Scott Bailey and I, Scott's the president of Opera Entertainment, and that's been our mandate from day one, is to future-proof this thing and build it so it adapts and breathes and molds to all the different things coming, whether that's 5G or whether that's different devices, different platforms. We like to think we're sort of indifferent to that. And so the Opry will be this platform for that, but also be sort of a laboratory and experiment to get these experiences to these fans.
Yeah. What about talent in terms of production talent? Have you gone to outside players to come in and produce shows for you? Are you developing an in-house team? What is the programming expertise modus operandi for this?
Yeah, it's a mix. It's a great question. I was very fortunate to essentially inherit an in-house production group. Martin Fisher, who's a very talented, long-time, many award-winning producer, but particularly in country music, been in this town a long time. And so he was already working for Opry Entertainment and has been my partner in putting this thing together. And so I was very fortunate there. And then, as you might imagine, we're working with a lot of third-party production companies who are bringing us stuff, or even at times, you know, an artist or manager will pitch us something. We'll even recommend a third party that we think is a better fit. So it's a good mix. It's a really good mix. But there's a lot of talent in this town, and so it hasn't been hard to put these shows together.
Cirque was also bringing back one of the classic television shows of all time, Country's Answer to Laugh-In. Of course, that's Hee Haw, which ran over 20
yep.
years, first on CBSN syndication. How are you able to get the rerun rights, and how is that going to play on the service?
So, well, Opry Entertainment owns Hee Haw, and so we, as an entity partially owned by Opry Entertainment, we're able to license it from them. So that's how we physically got it. And I think Hee Haw has got a chance to be just a really rediscovered cult classic. It is just so funny. And it's just so silly, cornball, you know, humor. But seeing the artist, I was just watching one with, must have been a 29, 30-year-old Waylon Jennings. And it's just really, really good entertainment. And so I'm real bullish on the sort of, it's not being reborn, but reintroducing Hee Haw to new generations. I'm very bullish on. It's just a fun show.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome, Bob from Dallas, otherwise known AKA as Random Brain Activities, one of our new chat room listeners. So, Bob, thanks for coming in the room. If you want to make a call, go right ahead, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room to pose your thoughts. We're happy to have you back aboard with us. By the way, do you think we ever have another Hee Haw? If this works, any thoughts, or anyone come up to you and say, I'd like to bring Hee Haw back, whether half hour, hour?
It has been discussed. We'll just we'll have to leave it at that.
I have to say this. I think it was a very underrated show. I watched it growing up, and I think that Buck Owens and Roy Clark made a wonderful pick. We now know Roy Clark was a fantastic entertainer. He passed away several years ago. He was one of the really great, very versatile entertainers, instrumentalist, singer, songwriter, et cetera, et cetera. And he was so good on that show. But all the great stuff, musical and comedy talent, that was on Hee Haw was, I think, is going to make it very, very special for people to rediscover.
I agree.
You're hearing Drew Riefenberger. He is the general manager of Circle. It's a brand new country music and lifestyle network that's available across the country, a joint venture of Opry Entertainment and Gray Television, one of the largest TV station groups in the country. You can either get it as a cable channel and or a multicast channel on the digital signal of your local broadcast station, including the great TV stations across the country and the CBS television stations, well, including here in New York and also in Los Angeles. Drew joins us live from Nashville, Tennessee, for a few more minutes here on Amari Televised. Tommy, I'm with you live from New York. Happy you are aboard. Thanks for kicking off your week with us. And if you have a question or comment, make it happen, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, TommyApple04 by name. And Random Brain Activity says, I don't know if Hee Haw is going to make it these days. There's no F-bombs in Hee Haw, so how will Dave Zoyans enjoy it? That was sarcasm, by the way. He thinks that people will enjoy it. So thank you, Bob and Dallas, for that. Now, Second Network, what's that going to be about, and when will that start?
You talking about the video on demand service in the spring?
Correct. Right, the video on demand service is going to be on
smart
TV sets and smart devices.
Right, exactly. So the notion there is You know, country music is such a broad genre, and you got 129 million fans out there. Again, we believe being dramatically underserved. And so we start with the linear channel because that's a form function everybody loves and enjoys, and that'll be a traditional general audience or experience. When you go on demand, it allows us to create highly, highly personal experiences where you the user, can control it based on the artist you love. And if you want Kenny Chesney, stop showing me George Jones. And if he wants George Jones, stop showing me Kenny Chesney. And so first and foremost, it's a very personal experience from that standpoint. And then obviously it's also, you know, on the device you prefer, so whatever that may be. And then you'll see a lot of extras, and then you'll see a lot of exclusives. And, of course, it'll be all ad-free. And so it'll just be a really, really rich, rich, rich personalized experience with tremendous depth of content. And a lot of surprises, and again, and ad-free.
Yeah. And that contrasts with Circle, which is ad-supported, correct?
Correct, yep. And
by the way, how is ad support doing? How are you doing in terms of lining up advertising for Circle?
You know, it's obviously very early, but the conversations we're having now for essentially programs this summer are really, really robust. It's a space that advertisers and researchers and brands have identified, unrelated to us, have identified the value of the country music fan, and then they looked around and couldn't find anywhere to invest. And so we've actually had people call us. I had a very, very big brand. We made one press release. It was actually to Wall Street analysts just announcing the joint venture with no information whatsoever. And a major, major brand actually called the switchboard at Ryman Hospitality wanting to find out about advertising on this new network. They didn't even have a name at the time. So there's pent-up demand to reach country music fans because they're very, very attractive. And there's just not that many places to do it. So yeah, we're real bullish on that. I think you'll see some big partnerships, not just advertising, but big partnerships where we can actually affect, you know, events and activation, because we have this wonderful reach, right? We have these circles, its own entity, but its sister siblings with 150 great network affiliates in market that we can do promotions with and events with. And then the Opry, the Ryman, the Old Red chain of restaurants that Opry Entertainment owns, it's really pretty unique that way. It's kind of the analogy I always get, because my background is mostly in sports, and you'd buy the rights, and then you'd create the programming. But imagine if you were a television network, but you also owned, you know, Daytona Motor Speedway and Madison Square Garden and Augusta National. You know, you can do things very differently in a very rich and robust way. And so that's kind of what we have here in this toolbox.
Yeah. The second service, the video on demand service, when will that be starting?
Second quarter. We don't have an exact date yet, but in the second quarter. The technology part of it is very well underway.
Since your background, Drew, is in sports, what kind of role do you see sports playing in Circle?
That's a great question, and we've talked about that a lot. We don't have any super specific notion on where sports fits, but we are definitely talking about a couple things. There's definitely some high indexing in college football, for example, both with artists that are big particular, you know, fans or boosters of teams and just generally in country music. So, and we certainly you know, if you're going to do a Venn diagram with, Pro Bowl Rodeo or NASCAR or something, there would be a massive overlap. So I think you can imagine something there. But I don't think you'll see us as a pure carrier of sporting events. I think you'll see us, again, in a much more thoughtful sort of event, music, lifestyle tie-in to those sorts of things. I think you can imagine stuff like that for sure in the future. But nothing immediately in the plans.
Yeah, interesting factoid that when the Nashville Network back in the 80s was in its heyday, they had a very popular series. It was like the Wide World of Sports called American Sports Cavalcade. It was put together by Diamond T Sports. The syndication company used to do a lot of the drag racing all over the country,
yep.
Other sports as well, and be everything from dirt track racing to tractor pulling to all sorts of Americana, if you will, sports. I would think that the popularity now of corn dog tossing, which you now see on ESPN, would have also fit that bill. Which leads to one more question for you, Drew, and that is, how ambitious do you see Circle getting? Because in its heyday, the Nashville Network did game shows. They did, I mentioned, a sports anthology show. They did, well, even at one point, they even did made-for-TV movies and even a drama series or two. So how ambitious, as you see things going beyond year one, beyond 2020, how do you and the Opry and the great people see Circle going in terms of ambition?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and I think we imagine ourselves as big as any major sort of branded genre specific media company there is, right? And we think country music is big as other things, not sports perhaps is bigger for sure. But I think over time you could definitely imagine a more unscripted and big event programming for sure, absolutely.
Incidentally, Random Brain Activity, Bob from Dallas back with us, and he says in the chat room he's wondering if Circle is going to be available on DirecTV. And while he's at it, we may as well also mention, is it going to be on Dish? Is it going to be on cable operators? What's the game plan there?
We're on a number of cable operators now by market. If you go to CircleAllAccess.com and put in your zip code, it'll tell you exactly what channel we're on over the air and what cable systems we're on as well. And we do not currently have a Direct or Dish deal, but we are in a number of cable systems. You mentioned we have 61 markets through our Gray relationship and 14 through the CBS relationship. And as I said, there's you'll see some more being announced here very, very shortly.
How do you feel now that you've gotten Circle off the ground? Not just you, but also everybody involved. What was the general vibe, the general mood out there?
Yeah, I think, number one, we're just really proud. We're really proud of the team we put together, really proud of the product we put together, the time frame in which we did it in 7.5 months, and the quality that we put out. We're just, number one, in a word, proud. And now we have to transition to, to feed this thing, keep it fresh, keep it interesting. Today's audiences don't like formulas. They want adventure. They want discovery. They want surprises. And that's really, really important to keep finding those. That's the next step. Fortunately, the industry is really behind us and really embracing us. And so the ideas coming out of the management companies, the labels, are really fun and innovative. And so I think our pipeline is going to be quite good. And I think you'll see a lot of innovative things. And again, multi-platform innovation back to, how we do live, how we do social, really try to break some models and get or create new models for today's audiences and the generational shift in attitude. I mean, again, this is what you do. You talk about this stuff all the time. General shifts in attitudes and attention are such that you really have to listen and behave a lot differently than maybe we did 20 years ago. And we're doing that. We like to think we are anyway.
The name of the network is Circle, and depending on where you are, is either available on cable, it's available as a multicast channel on the digital broadcast side of your local broadcast station, including Gray TV stations along the country and also CBS television stations in major markets, or it's available on satellite. And maybe soon it'll be available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. And don't forget, there'll be a second Circle service, video on demand, commercial free, that will be available starting later this spring through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We'll keep you posted when that is going to happen. For more details about both networks online, here's where you go, www.circleallaccess.com. That's www.circleallaccess.com. Circle them around the country, a joint venture of Opry Entertainment and Gray Television. Drew Ravensberger, the general manager of Circle Media, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting the network off the ground. Look forward to hearing more about it. Hopefully maybe come to New York and do an upfront event for the New York press and advertising community. And it's been a pleasure to help kick off 2020 in this new decade with us.
Well, back at you, Simon. I really appreciate it. Like I said, it was an honor. I really enjoy your work. And so it's an honor to be on your show and share with the audience. We will be doing all those things. You can count on it.
Absolutely. And, Drew, thank you again for the acknowledgement. I deeply, deeply appreciate it. Take care. All the greatest.
You bet. Cheers.
Drew Ravensberger joining us live from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Once again, the network is Circle, available on digital broadcast, multicast, cable, satellite, other ways too. For more details on how it's in your area, www.circleallaccess.com. More tomorrow, we televised coming your way. First, the words of the fine folks, and our sponsor, Audible.com. You looking for a very exciting police drama? Well, here's one you can hear as well as read. It's the new novel by James Patterson and Candace Fox, The Inn, and it can be one of the books you try out in audio format from Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment, digitally made, and also inspiration and entertainment and inspiration as well. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Remember, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised, and you get not one, not two, three free audiobooks and a one-month trial. And don't forget, those free priority books include two from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. That includes everything from great one woman and one man shows, the best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater from across the country, and great original audio productions. And remember, they all come to you, great production values, great sound, and it's all free under a one-month trial. Plus, get great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So make today the day that you hear for yourself how Audible can transform the way you hear the world. It makes a great post-holiday gift for you or somebody you know. AudibleTrial.com/televised. Coming up in our next half hour, we'll have our Clap and Trivia Question of the Week. Get your thinking caps ready. You could win a prize if you know the correct answer. Plus, we'll recap the Golden Globe TV Awards from last night with a few initial comments. And we'll also tell you about a Fox station in Cincinnati that did something quite unique in daytime already today. Could it be something that gets copied in syndication? We'll find out. More coming your way on the Promo About Television after we pause the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com and speaker.com. Together reaching more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight, Blog Talk Radio and Speaker have a special for you. It's the 2020 International Blues Challenge. The 2020 International Blues Challenge music special tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker. And don't forget, best VTR will be 24/7 at YouTube.com. All right, the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Monday afternoon, first Monday of 2020 and this new decade. Simon Appleman with you live from New Weather York, 42 degrees at the top of the hour, a little bit on the cool side. We hope the weather is great where you are, and thank you for joining us for the program All About Television. And right now, kicking off this half hour, our classic trivia question of the week, first one of the year and decade. And if you're first with the correct answer, you can win the interesting book, Identify Yourself, A Journey in Your Creative Courage by Sue Shapiro, the originator of the popular 80s late-night show on USA Network Nightlight, now its own smart TV service. And here's the question. Settle There, one of the most popular game shows of all time for families, kids, anyone on the planet. It's had three versions. The first version, which also includes Super Sloppy and Family Double Dare, was hosted by Mark Summers. The third version, which came out last year and the year before, was hosted by YouTube star Liza Koshy. Did a great job with Mark as the announcer. Here's our question. Who hosted the second version, known as Double Dare 2000? Who hosted the second version of Double Dare, known as Double Dare 2000? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your full mailing address. If you win, we get the prize out to you ASAP. Let's give the question one more time. Who hosted the second version of Double Dare, known as Double Dare 2000? Remember, the email you use is simonapple04@yahoo.com. And if you just missed the question a moment ago, we will post it tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's the UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. And, of course, all the very best. Last night, as you mentioned in our news notes, we had the first big award show of this calendar year and decade, the 2020 Golden Globe Awards, hosted by Ricky Gervais, live from Los Angeles. And now let's recap the TV winners. Now I'll offer a couple comments here. First of all, overall, let me tell you who won in terms of the programming services. HBO was first with four Golden Globes in the TV categories, then tied for second, Amazon and Hulu with two apiece, and finally, Showtime, Netflix, FX, one TV award apiece. In the comedy categories, the winner, just like the Emmy Awards a few months earlier, was Fleabag. And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, the creator of Star Fleabag, won the Best Actress Comedy Award. The Best Actor Comedy Award was a big surprise and led off the event. It was Rami Youssef for the Hulu series, Rami. In the drama category, Succession was from HBO, the big winner in that category. The Best Actor, it was Brian Cox, one of the co-stars of Succession. And for Best Actress in a Drama, it was Olivia Colman for Netflix's The Crown, Netflix's only Golden Globe TV award. And overall tonight, Netflix only won two awards, one for TV, the other for film, for Laura Dern, for supporting actress, for Marriage Story. In the miniseries category, which was miniseries, limited series, made-for-TV movies, the winner, just like like the Emmys was Chernobyl. For Best Actor in the miniseries, it was Russell Crowe for Showtime's The Loudest Voice. He played, of course, Roger Ailes in that miniseries. And for Best Actress, Michelle Williams, repeating her Emmy win for Foxy Verdon, playing, of course, the great dancer and star Gwen Verdon. And finally, in the supporting categories, supporting actor, and that, by the way, goes for comedy series, drama series, etc. Supporting actor went to Stellan Skarsgård for his role in Chernobyl. And supporting actress, just like the Emmys, in the miniseries category, Patricia Arquette for Hulu's The Act. And that was, of course, the TV winners at last night's Golden Globe Awards, which was carried in their entirety on NBC. Couple thoughts. First of all, this was definitely some surprises right off the bat. It was a nice surprise to see Rainey Youssef win for Rainey. If you haven't seen that series on Hulu, it was a marvelous show. It was more than just a comedy. It had some dramatic elements, too. Very versatile series, different formats for different episodes, and a really nice surprise. And it was very funny to hear Rainey Youssef say, well, probably you didn't see my show, and you still voted for it anyway. What do you know? In terms of what I thought was the not-so-great surprise of the night, it was the fact that Russell Crowe won for The Loudest Voice. I didn't think that from the performance. The performance was okay. Was it the best of the year? Not by a long shot. Better performances that were nominated. And in fact, one performance that wasn't nominated, that should have been, was Jerrell Jerome for his incredible role in When You See Us by Ava DuVernay, directing that for Netflix. And by the way, that should have been nominated for Best Miniseries. One of the big faux pas in the Globes this year was the lack of a nomination for both When They See Us in the miniseries category and Jerrell Jerome for Best Actor in a limited series or miniseries. So when you take that into account, Russell, and by the way, nice to see that Russell did bring up, and so did other celebrities who got awards or presented awards at the Globes, the issue with the Australian wildfire situation, which is a very tough situation to handle. Our best, of course, to everybody who is dealing with it in Australia. And thanks for all the celebrities who said, do please, you know, for the United States viewers and listeners to lend their support to what is going on to the firefighters and first responders down under. And secondly, I think the big losers of the Golden Globes, among others, was all the pundits who pre-award ceremony were saying, well, if you win an Emmy Award, you're not going to win a Golden Globe Award. Well, that certainly was not the case. Chernobyl won Best Miniseries. Patricia Arquette won for The Act. Michelle Williams won for Foxy Verdon. Phoebe Waller-Bridge won for Fleabag, both the comedy and the series, and her acting performance in it. So for those people who said, nope, Emmy folks can't win. That's the Golden Globe take the Emmy Awards. They will not take any winners, and they can Golden Globe winners. Sorry, you got to come up with last night. And that's the deal. And finally, in terms of the low viewership or lower viewership than a year ago, I will offer one caveat on that, or at least one idea about why the viewership was low, maybe by more as many as 4 million viewers from 2019. And that is Ricky Gervais's monologue. Yes, it felt like it was a dead zone at the event itself in terms of the crowd. But more importantly, I think Ricky's monologue was way too inside baseball. And what people do not want to, I think, for me, what people do not want to hear in an award ceremony off the bat is inside baseball. They want to be addressed. They do not care about inside baseball as people in the industry. They would like you to, unless, of course, it's a thing like the Me Too movement or something like that. However, Ricky, and this is for anybody, by the way, who hosts an award ceremony, please keep in mind who you are talking to. You are not talking just to the crowd in the room. You are talking to the whole audience. They want to know about the world of entertainment. They do not want the inside baseball. They want the awards. They want you to talk about the stars. They want you to talk about this, you know, how things are at with movies and television. They do not want the inside baseball and all the big issues that that entails. So word of the wise for Ricky and anyone else who hosts an award ceremony. If you want viewers to tune into your show, talk to them, not just the crowd in the room. That's, by the way, why I think the one of the big factors why the Emmy Awards dropped tremendously in audience and why the Oscars basically held steady, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's why the Tony Awards did have an uptick, by the way, because they talked to both the home audience as well as the people in the crowd that they're watching live at the theater. So, folks, from now on, talk to the audience. The home audience, they're the ones that watch you. They're the ones that pay the bills. They're the ones that go to the movies. They're the ones that watch the TV shows. And they want you to talk to them. And if you do that, ratings might go up next year. Or at least have a great shot. And by the way, I'd like to hear what you think about the Golden Globe TV Awards. What did you think about the awards? Did you think that your favorites won or didn't win? Did you think there were a lot of surprises? And what was your thoughts on Ricky Gervais' monologue? Was it too much inside baseball, as I think? Love to hear from you. So you can give me a call in the next few minutes. 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next up, as an update, the feature for those of you that are tuning in for the first time, we do a feature here called Up, where we showcase or update you on past guests and topics on the program. I mentioned earlier that we had an amazing response to our episode on Friday featuring our exclusive interview with the creator executive producer of The Witcher, Lauren Schmidt-Hisrick. Well, also, we did a show and note feature that included a thought or two about an interesting commercial that ran on ESPN's college football bowl game coverage. That's the commercial of Chick-fil-A with two people who we believe are deaf or hard of hearing that are communicating with each other in sign language. Well, we have an up on that, and here's the update. Another major sponsor of that coverage also decided to do a commercial featuring sign language, and that's Marriott, the hotel chain. There's a portion of a Marriott spot which features a concierge or customer service desk representative sign languaging a deaf or hard of hearing customer. Great move. Let's hope we see more of that. One of the things I think issues and developments that took place this past year was to try to encourage more and more programming, either featuring or having behind the scenes people who are dealing with disabilities, whether it's blindness, deafness, hard of hearing, loss of limbs, paralysis, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Good trend. Let's hope we see more of this sign language situation and disability participation in commercial spots, whether it's from Chick-fil-A, McDonald's, Marriott, et cetera, et cetera. And good for the advertising agencies that decide to go with those spots by Chick-fil-A and Marriott. Oh, by the way, we have a random brain activity. Bob from Dallas back in our chat room, and here's what he has to say. Another year without a traditional network win. That's the Golden Globe Awards he's talking about. Is that more a comment on the weakness of network TV, or is it more a sign of the shift in delivery methodology? I think it's both, Bob. I think it is both. I think the fact that we haven't seen too many memorable, in terms of content or quality, broadcast TV, broadcast network shows, and I do think it's more of a sign of the shift in delivery of shows, of programs on Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. However, I will say this, too. I think it also shows that some of the cable networks, like HBO, like FX, like USA Network, they still matter in terms of delivering unique programming, especially in drama. Again, HBO was the big winner among programming services with four awards, two for Chernobyl and two for Succession. And that said something that people still consider cable a great home for quality television. Don't forget also that FX won and Showtime won as well. But yes, I totally agree with you. It is a comment about the weakness of network TV in terms of programming quality or programming initiative, and it also is a sign of the shift in delivery with more and more people watching Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and other services through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Don't forget, we're now in an age where every month more than 10 billion hours of content and apps are watched by the American public through these smart sets and smart devices, which are getting more and more capacity, more and more capability as time goes on. So I hope that answers your question, Bob in Dallas, Random Brain Activity in our chat room. Thank you for sending that in. Okay? So thank you for that. And finally, I have something to pass along to you, and it's this. Earlier today, the Fox station in Cincinnati, that's WXIX Channel 19, did something that might be historic for daytime television. And it might be, who knows, the forerunner of a new trend in syndication. Now, right now in syndication, there are many TV shows like Family Feud or the courtroom shows like Judge Judy and Hot Bench that get what we call a double run. It's either an hour of the program, 2.5 hours back-to-back, or it is showing the program in one city at one time, let's say the morning, and in another city in the afternoon. For example, here in New York, we have WNEW and WORTV, channels 5 and 9 respectively, that are owned by Fox. Sometimes, channel 5 will run a show in daytime like The Real at 11 a.m. local time, and then WWL will play it at 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Well, WXIX channel 19 seems to have done one better starting today. Starting today, they are playing 4 half-hour episodes of Judge Judy back to back to back to back. Just consider that. 4 half-hours, 2 straight hours of Judge Judy, one of the most popular daytime shows syndicated nationally to you through local television stations. 4 half-hour episodes back to back to back to back straight. My understanding is that they are the first television station to do that. Will more TV stations do the same thing? Stay tuned about this. It'll be interesting to see, particularly with Nappy coming up, the big syndication show and the programming show in Miami Beach later this month, to see if anybody else decides, I want to copy what WXIX Channel 19 is doing. And speaking of message there, I'm also wondering whether that two-hour Judge Judy is a sign that, at least at WXIX, there isn't another syndicated show or local show we're doing to fill up that second hour. Oh, and our good friend Randy Brain Activity, Bob in Dallas, just said this. Said Bob's a love, too, by the way. He really says, I'm surprised, just on that comment I just made, I'm surprised there isn't a cable channel that just airs Judge Judy, Judge Bro Brown, People's Court, etc., 24-hour, as he calls it, fake courtroom. His quote, not mine, 24-hour fake courtroom. Actually, Bob in Dallas, there is. It's from Entertainment Studio, Byron Allen's company. They do a thing called Justice Central. And in addition to original programming on law and justice topics, they do present their syndicated shows like America's Court with Judge Ross, the Christina Perez Show, the other shows that they do in syndication dealing with courtroom matters. Those programs do run 24/7 on Justice Central. So the name of the service is Justice Central. It's available on many cable systems around the country. And it's one of the Entertainment Studio cable channels put together by Byron Allen. See how it happens. So we'll see if more and more stations around the country play 2 hours of Judge Judy. I'm just wondering, I'd love to hear from WXIX. What did you think? Did you explore the opportunity of doing, let's say, a local show 5 days a week in that second hour time period? Did you look at putting on a show like Judge Jerry or with some of these talk shows, Kelly Clarkson, Tamron Hall, if they were available, or 24 Words or Less, or America Says, the new game show that started on GSN, now is running around the country, doing quite well, by the way. Ratings are going up. Why do 2 hours of Judge Judy? And I'd love to see what the rating results are. We'll stay in touch. We'll keep you posted about this Judge Judy two-hour experiment. It's quite interesting. And don't laugh on this. Who knows? This might be the new trend of the 2021 season. Oh, one more comment from our good friend Random Brand Activity, a.k.a. Bob in Dallas. Local show cost productions have to be more than those syndicated shows. Certainly true, but given the technology these days, it can be done. WCBB in Boston still does their nightly news magazine Chronicle, which is a quite ambitious show. And there are some local news and local TV show experiments going on around the country. So we'll see. Can be done. But we'll keep you posted on this Judge Judy two-hour thing and see how that goes. Well, that will do it for Tomorrow We Televise this Monday afternoon. Thank you again for joining us. And thank you to Drew Riefenberger from Circle Media for joining us. If you want to know more about Circle, available again on broadcast stations, on through the digital signal, on multicast, on cable, satellite, etc., go to www.circleallaccess.com. That will tell you about the schedule, the network in general, and where you can find in your local area. That's www.circleallaccess.com. And Friday on Tomorrow We Televise, there's a couple of guests in play. We can't tell them yet, but they are in play for our show. Plus, we'll have the latest from, in our news notes section, the latest from CES in Las Vegas, and we'll have the latest from the TV Critics Tour in Los Angeles. PBS is scheduled to showcase themselves that day. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, like our Friday episode with The Witcher and screener executive producer, Lauren Smith-Hisbrick, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, we are available 24/7 on podcast on iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and, of course, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. For the latter, you go to www.iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you are in. Also, I write Tomorrow Be Televised columns for Media Village, the Media Leadership website. Check it out. Some of our episodes are also running there. And also, there's a brand-new audio feature available on Media Village. By the way, some of the Media Village staff are on their way right now to Las Vegas for CES. They're doing an Advancing Diversity conference there, other things as well. So check out all their activity and their coverage at MediaVillage.com. And the radio coverage includes interesting programming involving Intel, National Public Radio, and other sources. So check out the new radio feature. It's available on www.MediaVillage.com. As always, we love hearing from you. I'd love to get your thoughts about our show today. What's your thoughts about how the Golden Globe TV Awards turned out? Was there a show that you were very happy to see win? Or a show you were not so happy to see lose? Or a show you think should have been nominated? Well, we'd like to know. So email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. It's also how you get involved in our regular feature of Show to Know. If there's a TV program you think doesn't get enough attention, let us know. We'll give it the attention. You get the credit. That's, again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. I do respond to emails within 24 hours. And you also find me on social media, on Facebook and on Twitter. Last night on the Golden Globe Awards, I tweeted all the TV situations on our Twitter feed. That's at UBC Simon TWT. That's UBC Simon TWT. We have over 700 followers to that feed. So do check it out. We will, by the way, throughout the course of the week, give you updates from CES as well as updates from the TV Critics Tour, which starts tomorrow with Fox. Remember, we love hearing from you. You are our audience. You matter. So don't forget, if you have something to say, please say it. Don't keep it in your head. Email me, follow me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, and I do respond. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Andy Tell is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, the executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought today by Audible.com and Amazon Company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, remember, it makes a great post-holiday gift, great way to start the decade and this year, too, for you or someone you love. Go to audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And remember, whatever you're out to call it for yourself this week, please make it safe and make it great. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.